let's get to the study. A little word of prayer, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that through the Holy Spirit, this might be edifying for all the saints and bring to you honor and glory. Amen. Through the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Well, this is another lesson on September 1st, 2024 about hope in God's Word. Okay, so a couple of lessons ago, we were discussing actually what the Word is. What the definition of hope was in the scriptures, and then we read a definition of what the world thinks hope is, and they have a world's definition of hope is that they have a desire for something to happen, but it may not happen. And so it's with the possibility of happening that people have hope in the world. Well, we found out that our hope is a solid hope. It's a confident expectation, not a wishful thinking. And so our hope, it has its foundation in God. And so so as far as hope is concerned, we have confidence of any hope that's given to us by Almighty God through the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And then we went into God's hopes in the fact that there are at least three major callings in the scriptures. And that I believe that the Lord would want us to at least understand. Yeah, our hope is still not at least understand maybe these other hopes. Do we have to understand other hopes to understand our hope? No. But I think that in understanding how Almighty God has worked with people on the planet for about 6,000 years now, I think that personally, I think that it would bring even more glory to what he's given us in the dispensation of the mystery, revealing a sacred secret that wasn't even known among the prophets at all, and not during the Acts period or any time in the Old Testament. That those words are easy to say, but the importance of them and the awesomeness of that truth should really take us aback. I want to thank Ron for his diligence and his zeal in the scriptures. That's great. I mean, having a great zeal for the scriptures like he has is a beautiful thing. All right, so then we decided to look into the millennial kingdom, and we discussed the fact that the millennial kingdom, or the thousand-year period right after Christ returns for the second time, is a hope. It's a calling. It's a calling. It has to do. It has the stamp of Israel on it. No doubt, majorly, it's for Israel. And then we stated that only in Revelation 21 through 10, verses 1 through 10, does it really specifically talk about that period of time in the words of 1,000 years. Then I made the statement that prophetic writings, which for sure speak of the millennial kingdom, are understood through inference. And what that means is that it's not bringing dishonor to prophecy whatsoever. It's just that, you know, it's just not written out 1 + 1 = 2 like it is in Revelation 20. All right, so then we went through the first three verses of Revelation 21 through 3. And what did we see? We saw that an angel of God laid a hand, a chain on the devil and bound him up for 1,000 years and cast him into a bottomless pit. So he couldn't deceive the nations anymore for that 1,000 years. And that is the millennial reign. And so that's a definite. That's what we said. It's abusos. The abusos are where Satan is going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. We said as its partner meeting in the deep that Satan was thrown into after he fell from being Lucifer. And so when the earth and the universe was in a deluge before the Spirit of God moved upon it. That is in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth, and then it became waste and wild. Well, it's during that period of time that I believe that Satan fell, or Lucifer fell, and became Satan. end that particular time of where the whole universe was plunged into water. It's called the Ouso. So it's interesting to see that Satan is going to be sealed by this angel in the Ouso. And he's going to have no longer any power to defeat it. So now we move to verse 4. And as we go on, we're going to, look into the prophecies concerning this period of time. Many of them are in Isaiah. And so we're going to be looking those over in times to come. But for now, we're going to get through Revelation 24 through 10. Now, again, why are we doing this? Is this going to bring any knowledge to our calling? Well, maybe not in the sense of explaining what our calling is, but you should be able to compare the two and understand how the Lord is working with, like, His chosen nation, which became a fallen wife, and who we are. So that's my point to that. Verse 4 said that Satan's going to be loosed for a little season after the millennial kingdom. And this angel that, by the way, has set a chain on Satan, it took me back to, it took me back in the sense that this must be one powerful angel that is able to do this. This is one special type of angel. I don't know what kind he is or what speciality he is, but if he has the power to bound up Satan into a Musos, he has a special given power. And then when he binds Satan into the Abusos and he sets a seal upon Satan, it means that he's locking Satan into the Abusos, kind of like a covering, where he's locking him in. He locks him in to the Abusos, wherever or whatever that might be. And then verse 4 talks about after Satan comes out of the millennial kingdom, he's going to be used for a special period of time. And then thrones are seen here. And we'll read it. And I saw thrones, and they sat, verse 4 of Revelation 20, they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Some people believe that this is the Father and the Son of God. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, for the word of God, which came out of the tribulation, by the way, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so, definitely, the reason I'm saying this is that definitely these overcomers during the tribulation will be called to the millennial kingdom and reign with Christ. So that's a definite. Now, a time before, I might have been talking about Armageddon. And I have to say this, Armageddon, I might have made a mistake and put it at the end of the millennial kingdom, which it is not. It is not. Armageddon is not at the end of the millennial kingdom. It is before the Lord returns. And then the ultimate battle between mankind with Satan's help after he is loosed is going to be happening after the millennial kingdom. And we'll be looking a little bit at that, because that itself also is quite a battle. So the battle of Armageddon, and then the battle that's going to happen at the end of the millennial kingdom are not the same. Okay, so we have the Father and the Son of judging believers here, and he saw the souls of those that were beheaded, and I just wanted to say this is a figure of speech, and Greek word or Greek form for soul is psuke, and that is the meaning of that is soul, and what that means is that it's not an everlasting entity that so many people believe the everlasting soul of God. We all, the idea of everlasting soul existing in every one of us that's eternal is Well, it's a shameful, it's a shameful, not true, statement at all. We are not, we don't have an everlasting anything, you know, so unless the Lord Almighty God, puts it there. And so these folks, which would be another tremendous study talking about, forever and ever and, eternal and all of that, that would be a tremendous study, but no human being on earth has anything eternal, or she, he or she has anything eternal existing in them except the Lord through the Holy Spirit puts it there. And so, so we have to understand, that that sort of, concoction is going on in the world today, even amongst some of the greatest preachers on earth, by the way. And so the soul of them, in verse 4, is psuche. And what that is that is a soul, and it means any human individual. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything eternal. It means, I saw the souls of them. I saw the manifestation of light, the zoe. And that light is the breath from God. And so, he saw souls. He saw particular individuals. That's it. And so, the reign of these overcomers is seen there, definitely, that did not take the mark of the beast, and they're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years, definitely. Okay, so we have a group of Israelites, probably, that are going to reign with Christ during the millennial kingdom. And in verse 5 it goes on to say, but the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. It says in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay, that there's a couple of really interesting statements there. That I'm going to try to explain a little bit about one of the aspects of them being priests. And then, two, the other one I'm going to leave to another story because, or another study, sorry, a little bit nerved out here. Another study because, you know, if you're, when we're talking about the resurrections, that's an intense study. And then when we're talking about the rest of the dead, that is that's an intensive study, or that's something that we should try to understand. The rest of the dead, okay? So apparently, whoever these rest of the dead were, we might particularly think that they're Israelites. They're not going to have any resurrection. If they do have one, until the end of the millennial period. And so that's interesting, at least. You know, do I know what's being talked about there? No, not in the greatest extent at all. We have to remember that the millennial kingdom is for the nation of Israel as the restored wife. That's really important. Restored wife. We also note that, that the nation of Israel is going to be resurrected according to Jeremiah 31, and they're going to be, as far as we know, they're going to be folks in the millennial kingdom, right? I mean, I think I can say that as far as others here today. And so we have, and isn't it said that they're priests? I think so. Let's turn to Isaiah 61. Now, I'm just going to make a point here, okay? So, so what I'm finding out here, folks, is this is a lot more, this is a lot more involved than I ever thought it is. So, let's turn to Isaiah 61. What am I doing? This is what I'm doing. The nation of Israel will be raised from the dead, and as far as what we, or what I think, is every one of them will be raised. Every one of them that is truly of the nation of Israel will be raised, no matter if they were a believer or not. And then it's also been said that at that period of time, during the millennial kingdom, then the Great Commission, that the apostles were given, that they would go out they would speak forth the kingdom of God among the nations. That that's going to happen during the millennial kingdom. And so that's something to take in mind also. But that fact is not, it is not plainly put forth in the Revelation, or possibly not in the prophets without some inference or without maybe some understanding of the Holy Spirit. And so this is what I found out so far, and anybody can say you're not right, Mike, or you know, you got things messed up, or you know, that's okay. You know, that's okay because these truths are, you know, really woven together, that's for sure. Isaiah 61, 1-9, it states, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Okay, so we do know the history of Israel, that well, many, many, many scriptures talk about how much God was displeased with the nation of Israel. They murmured. They eventually got into idol worship, and you know, they were. It talks about them doing things in groves of trees. That's what satanic worshippers do. They worship in groves, and they even possibly brought idols into the temple. And so he chose them, and he's never going to refuse them, that's for sure. That's something we will, or we should understand, even though they have gone astray like a divorced wife. And that's a point about the millennial kingdom. It's reinstating the divorced wife. All right, that's important to know. "And they shall build," verse 4 of Isaiah 61, "build the old wastes, and they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall name the priests of the Lord," ye shall be named, sorry, "the priests of the Lord, men shall call you ministers of our God. Ye shall eat of the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame shall have doubled, and for confusion they shall rejoice in your portion, therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them." That's very important. "And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which the Lord has blessed." And I believe that what this is talking about is, this is talking about the reinstatement of the nation of Israel during the millennial kingdom. And in verse 6, it talks about them, that they shall be known as priests of the Lord. And so we think about this, and we think, okay, well, overcomers were priests, right? We read that overcomers of the tribulation are priests that reign with the Lord for 1,000 years, right? That's a given. That's a no-brainer. Now, one could ask priests of Israel that apparently are going to give forth the good commission, that they're going to be teachers of God during the millennial kingdom. And are they going to reign with Christ as the overcomers? Well, I think my personal opinion is this, is that we're talking about two priesthoods already. We're talking about two priesthoods already in the millennial kingdom. Okay, that's just an opinion that I have. But so far, I have not seen that a priest of Israel that was not an overcomer is going to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. All right, that's my point. All right? So I said that. Now, whether you agree with that or not, this is so far what I have found. Okay, so the priests that are overcomers during the tribulation are very special individuals. They're very special individuals, and they ran forth with the word of God to the point of being beheaded and not taking the mark of the beast, which had to be a very very pressurized situation, and so they're very special people. Israel, on the other hand, are very very special kingdom of God, no doubt. But they have their severe ups and downs. So I see these two priests as being different. Now, how are they going to be different? Well, for one, I think that overcomers are going to reign with Christ. That's what I see so far. The nation of Israel is the restored wife of God. That's important to know. They are not the bride of Christ in Revelation 21. Now, can a wife be a bride? Yes. But this is going a little bit ahead of myself, but eventually we're going to talk about the calling of the New Jerusalem. One major point of the difference between the Millennial Kingdom and the New Jerusalem is that the New Jerusalem calling never had the word divorcement associated with it. There is no divorced people. There is no divorced woman as a title of the New Jerusalem that's going to come down from the heavens. And so they have never been divorced, if you will. Now, there could be individuals that might be propelled from the Millennial Kingdom to the New Jerusalem. You know, that's a possibility. But as far as anybody in the New Jerusalem being there as being the nation of Israel divorced, they are not. They are not. So the calling of the New Jerusalem has no divorcement involved in it. It's a calling, particularly by faith. That's important to understand. So those are two great points. Eventually, we're going to go on to the New Jerusalem calling. So if we look at Isaiah 54, we're going to look at the restored wife, the divorced wife of Israel. Let's turn to Isaiah 54. And so now what we're doing is we're moving on to a prophecy about the Millennial Kingdom. But notice that the words Millennial Kingdom, or notice that the words 1,000 years are not in these prophecies. Okay, that's just the point. Okay, so Isaiah 54, 1 through 8. And so these are, this is where some of the truth of the Millennial Kingdom come from. And Ms. Jan sent me an article by Oscar Baker talking about, I think it's Isaiah 60, and he writes about a number of verses that talk about what the Millennial Kingdom is going to be like. And so I don't think I'm going to get to that today, but in the next lesson or two, I will get into that and just to give you some ideas of what he thought. And, you know, at first, my mind said, well, I usually like to do my own studying. And, I think that it's important to bring some of Oscar's thoughts into this just because they're very interesting. So I'm going to be doing that in the future. Isaiah 54, it states, sing, O barren, that thou did not bear. Break forth in singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place place of thy tent, let them stretch forth like the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not approach of thy widowhood any more. For thy maker is thy husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou hast was refused, saith God. And so, I believe this is talking about the nation of Israel. As the woman that was forsaken, and that was refused. But now he's talking about a particular time where he's going to bring them together and show his mercy. Israel in the millennial kingdom. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, and I think that we should remember the everlasting covenant. There's a number of covenants that are in the scriptures, and this possibly could be dealing with the Lord's everlasting covenant with Israel. You know, I could be wrong about that, but that's just a thought. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, as thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of... Oh, okay, I think that's the end of that. That's the end of the quote that I wanted to quote. This is not talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. But like I said, there is some possibility that those that go through the millennial kingdom might be propelled, if you will, however that might be, to the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem calling never new divorcement. And so, you know, we're going to go on here and we're going to find out that there's going to be some interesting things happening at the end of the millennial kingdom with Satan, with the lake of fire, you know, what that is, torment of Satan and fallen angels, and the total destruction of the universe and the earth by fire again, and then the New Jerusalem and the New Earth are created or brought down. And so, you know, those are some tremendously interesting events. And are there some things that we might not ever understand about how that all works? I would have to say to you, through my studies of, some great people of the mystery, they have stated that they don't understand some things that are happening here, and with the idea that we shouldn't speculate too much. Okay, so there are things in the scriptures that probably everybody in the mystery that lived never understand. But, you know, that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to find out. We have overcomers and the rest of the dead, which apparently did not overcome during the tribulation. These overcomers are called priests of God, reigning with Christ for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom. The rest of the dead is another company, probably Israelites, that lived not until the millennial kingdom comes to an end. Okay, so turning back to Revelation 20. And here again, this is talking about a hope, right? And so, even though it's not our hope, it is somebody's hope. It is a believer's hope. It's the nation of Israel's hope. And so it is important. Is it important for us to know? Yes. Is it required knowledge for us to know so that we understand the mystery? No. I think that you wouldn't even have to know anything about the millennial kingdom to understand your calling. But nevertheless, I don't think that would be correct in saying, well, you know, I'm not gonna study too much about Israel at all and their calling to New Jerusalem. I don't think that's gonna help you out at all. I don't think it's edifying. Well, I don't think that is a correct way of thinking whatsoever. Verse 6 of Revelation 20, it says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Okay? That's the first resurrection are overcomers to reign with Christ. On such, the second death has no power. So it's like, oh man, I mean, this is getting pretty hairy. I mean, what in the world is the second death? Okay? So I'm going to leave a couple of these things to another study because, you know, like right now I can't say, oh yeah, I know everything about the second death because I don't. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years, that's the overcomers. And when the 1,000 years are expired, in verse 7, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, you could say, well, why would Almighty God do that? Okay, why would he, you know, Satan has caused all these problems, he's bound up for 1,000 years, why doesn't the Lord just keep him there? Alright? Okay, and there's an answer to that. Satan shall be loosed out of the abusos to deceive the nations from all over the world. Alright, so, what's gonna happen is Satan's gonna have the power to deceive people again. Okay, so let's go on with this. And shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Okay, so what can we know about this? Well, these nations were there during the millennial kingdom. Okay, that's what we can understand. And so, during the millennial kingdom, there's going to be a choice during the millennial kingdom. Israel will be the nation they should have gone out evangelizing the Gentiles. But during the millennial kingdom, there are going to be human beings that are not going to choose the Lord, I believe. Okay, so even during that period of time, with overcomers reigning with Christ on earth for 1,000 years, there are still going to be rebellious human beings. And as a matter of fact, according to scriptures, there's going to be a heck of a lot of them. Alright, it's interesting. It goes on to say, verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. And that's something I'll try to explain sometime. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. These nations were on earth during the millennial kingdom. And I believe that what scripture is talking about here is that there's millions and millions of them as the sand of the sea. So this great battle at the end of the millennial kingdom is going to be the Christ's and his own against millions and millions of deceived human beings. You know, it's not like it's going to be a few or, you know, some squads or something like that. It's going to be pretty terrible, pretty intense. And these people will have a choice to choose the Christ or to choose Satan. Many are going to choose Satan. Verse 9 and 10, and then I think I'll wrap this up for today. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, verse 9, encompassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of the heavens and devoured them. The nations at this point, through the power of Satan, are going to be totally engulfing Israel. Totally. Nowhere for them to go. And it's going to take a miraculous connected forever and ever. Okay, so then we get into another row. Okay, so in all of these folks, these millions of folks that are going to gather against Israel are going to be devoured by this miracle fire coming out of the heavens from God. And I mean, you know, it's hard for our minds to even cope with the idea of this really happening, but it's going to really happen. And the devil, verse 10, deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets were or are, and they shall be tormented day and night for the ages of the ages. Now, okay, so we have another couple things to think about here. They will be tormented. And here is the $10 Greek form. Basanis Seisante. Basanis Seisante. Seisante, actually. And what does that mean? It means that they're going to have infliction of severe suffering or pain, according to the Greek, associated with torment. And so, however long this is going to happen, is that they're going to be tormented day and night for the ages of the ages. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, for one, the sun and the stars and the moon apparently will still be in existence. That's important. Because eventually, universe as we know it and the earth as we know it and the stars as we know them will not be here anymore. The universe is going to be recreated. It will not be fallen anymore. But it seems as though at this period of time that the sun and the moon and the stars still exist because Satan is going to be tormented day and night. Unto the ages of the angels, vice tus aeonas, con aeonon, and forever and ever. And so what is forever and ever? Is it eternally? I don't believe so. The ages of the ages, how long is that? I don't know. I have no idea. But I do believe that Satan is eventually going to be destroyed because, as Ronnie was talking about, Almighty God is going to bring everything back to when he's all in all, and there is going to be righteousness is going to reign, and there will be no possibility of sin anymore. And so, with other truths in mind, I think that, you know, this torment, it sounds pretty bad. My mind says, yeah, well, Satan and his angels looks like they're going to get theirs, finally, at least for a while. And it's going to be for the ages of the ages, whatever that might be. And so, I'm going to go back next time, and I'm going to try to discuss a couple of things, like the second death. And some of these other, you know, maybe the ages of the ages, which I don't really know if I can even find any good information as far as how long that is. But I'm going to go back and discuss that a bit, and then from that point we're going to move on to the calling of the New Jerusalem. And so I thank you folks for being here. It's an honor and a privilege. As a matter of fact, I always think that. It's an honor and a privilege to know things of God that we know. To have a complete scriptures this word of God is beyond price. If we have our heads on straight, this completed word of God is beyond price. That's for sure. So, thanks folks, and to the honor and glory of the Lord, and love you guys, and I wanted to pray for Phil's upcoming conference. Conferences are interesting to put on, and I think he's going to need prayer there, and we'll just pray that it's edifying, and that great truths come out of that. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen, folks. Thanks.